Previously on D&D&D.
The demons now recover. The big one recovers and screams and points that trident right at you.
Me?
Yes.
Why?
And screams in a language that you don't understand, but you hear a voice in your head in a language you do understand. That kind of echoes this, like, huge gargantuan booming sound of this awful guttural language, identifies himself and says, I am the demon Gornathawa.
Okay.
And you have summoned me. For what purpose?
What?
Speak, tiny fingers.
I'm talking to you. Fingers are talking. I summoned you to fucking rock, dude.
Then rock you shall. And he sweeps the trident over the roof of the cavern, and a ton of rocks fall.
Oh.
Umphrey, how many of you are here right now?
There were three of us. One fell in the lava.
Oh, no.
No, damn. Is your boss here?
He was going after the Empress.
Show us.
Yeah, take us there.
You start to push your way through the crowd. He keeps looking back at you.
I smile at him.
He's
yeah, don't forget,
out.
I'm the devil.
Keep going. As you get closer and you force your way closer, Umphrey gets closer to Bibble and is like, Bibble, I thought you fell in the lava. It's the devil. We gotta get out of here.
Yeah, I'm just me. Anyway.
Bibble has a curved knife drawn, like a jagged, curved, like Jafar-like knife.
Cool.
And has put her mask now over her face, and she's like, "Umphrey, no names. What are you talking about, devil? What's going on? What happened to
I'm
you
the
back there?
I already know all your names. Oh, I see everything bad you do.
Roll intimidation.
10.
Oh. Umphrey's still scared, but Bibble's not buying it.
Yes.
I'm going to use your inspiration.
That is some old-ass inspiration. I don't know when that's from. Let me roll again. 22.
Oh, wait. It's enough to give Bibble pause.
Okay. Like, Santa Claus might be real. This is the moment in a Christmas movie where the old man with the white beard knows what mom wants for Christmas, or what mom wanted for Christmas when she was 5. And how can he know that? Do you know?
Yeah. There's a hint of is it true?
Yeah.
It is this moment of hesitation from this other dwarf. Fletch, you could act in this moment if you so choose, or I guess either of you could. You see one of them has this knife, has the mask on. The other is, like, you know, kind of on your side a little bit. Not charmed, but terrified. What do you do?
I kind of want to look at what's holding the door shut.
What's holding the door shut looks to be a very, very fancy, high-end VIP scarf of some kind. Like, it is nice.
Yeah.
Fabric. And it's wrapped around the handles so to prevent them from being open. You can see that, you know, it, as would happen in this situation with a couple of double doors, there's a little crack as the doors are trying to be opened. They can't open all the way. And through that, you can see the Empress.
Does the scarf, like, can I tell where it might be from?
What would like fashion?
Right, like would I be like, oh, this is from the whatever region or kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or like even material wise.
Yeah, it would be an intelligence roll. Roll history or investigation.
Oh, good thing my character's stupid. 14.
It's not elvish. It's not human.
Okay. So there's so many dwarves.
You can guess that through process of elimination that it is most likely dwarven in origin, and
fancy
it's very
dwarf.
High end.
Okay.
It is the dwarven equivalent of cashmere or something.
Yeah, I'm just thinking because like my first guess would be like, oh, duh, it's her brother, but like. I don't know where, what, I forget what the fuck happened to them.
You left
we
him.
We just left him.
In a dark dungeon.
I mean, it's not, he could have gotten out. We all got out. But, I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud.
Do we know who's behind the door?
We see the Empress.
Zavis can see through the crack in the door that the Empress is trying to get out. And your bud, Umphrey, did indicate that that's where they were headed.
They were trying to
and
get.
And you can see now as you are... In this moment, Gorlian is now very near the door. He's like steps away from the door.
Can we? I'm like afraid to touch this. I'm just like it's a trap. This fucking scarf, because it's a scarf. You know,
you're still a little bit distance away.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm just thinking like if my instinct is just to like unwrap it, but I'm like it just unless like you know we're all in a hurry.
Are there any plants around us? Or is this all rocks?
No, it's all rocks.
Can I
rock,
run?
Stone, metal.
Can I run over to the scarf? Like the door?
Yeah, you could push your way over there. When you get over there, you find the third cult member, Gorlian, who you initially exposed, also approaching the door. You reach it at the same time.
Oh, from the outside. He's not in there.
He's not in there. He's on the outside. He's coming up to it. You see, he also has one of these long, weird, crooked knives. And he is he's drawing it, like, let's say, from like a scabbard, you know, menacingly as he approaches the door. He has his back to you in this moment.
Oh, he can't see me?
He hasn't seen you yet. Fletch, meanwhile, you have the other two in front of you, kind of caught in this moment of confusion. You guys now will roll for initiative, and we will go back into the arena.
24.
17.
Rolling on ones today, guys.
Oh, no.
I don't feel bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
Good. We all want you to fail.
Yeah, we gotta get back into recording, so, like, you making it easy for us.
In the arena, Margarine, you have reached... The broken acid cart. There are clay pots and glass jars that have burst open, and chemicals have mixed together, creating this kind of like noxious fumes in this region. Roll a Constitution save as you approach.
Oh, damn. All right. How does a 14 do?
14 is okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it's unpleasant. It catches you off guard, but you're not damaged by it. You cough. You kind of rear back. Let's say that now the sheet falls away. You have free movement. You're not table anymore. You're also stabbing and stuff.
Yeah. Can't be table and also be stabbing.
No, it would stretch stretch a little bit of suspension of disbelief.
But I do still have this platter.
You do still have the platter. The platter
on my head.
Strapped to your head now as like a Raiden hat. In pursuit behind you are the demons. The dwarves, the remaining dwarves of this team, a couple of which have been crushed, a couple of which have been burned, are just in total disarray, trying to make heads or tails of the situation. What do you do?
Quickly, I want to assess how close am I to the hammer cart.
It's very nearby. You're
very nearby.
10 feet away.
All right, we're going to do a collect-a-thon. I'm going to find as many bottles as I can that have been unopened.
Okay.
Of these acids.
Okay.
And put them on my platter.
roll sleight of hand.
Okay. 7 plus 9, 16.
Roll a d6.
Okay. Come on, d6. Yeah, I rolled a 6.
6, great. You get 6 undamaged bottles of unknown chemicals.
Great, I'm now going to book it over to the next.
Roll acrobatics. So if you were balancing these on your platter hat.
On my head. Go, 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 go. 9 plus 14, 23.
23 is fine, yes. Somehow you're able to...
balance.
Marjorie's got a thick neck. A very strong, sturdy neck that that keeps things balanced atop your platter hat as you head over to the...
When she was stabbing and stuff and the fabric was coming off of the top, she just tied it around her neck so she has like a little cape.
Yeah, sure.
And she sprints over to the hammer.
Hammer cart. Okay. Find yourself at the hammer cart with the hammer bros, who have kind of like posted up, ready to they've each selected a hammer. They're ready to kind of go. They're ready to throw down if should these demons choose to pick a fight.
I'm bringing the fight to you.
Saving anybody? Yeah.
Well, next up, I'm a two-handed fighter.
So you want to try to get a little one-handed?
I need a one-handed hammer.
These are all like super magic hammers too.
Yeah, they are. Oh, man. Russell, I can't keep hitting for 7 points.
That's true. Oh God. Let's take a moment to make a magic item. Hellfire light hammer. Let's try that one. What does that do? Fashioned from infernal iron and traced with veins of hellfire that shine in a dim light.
That is
a humanoid killed by it has its soul funneled into hell.
Excuse me?
Fuck. That's so cool.
Yeah, let's just go ahead and you can. That's the one that you grab.
Whoops. All right, dude. That's insane. Like the implications of that are. So I'm sorry. If you kill someone with this thing, they go to hell.
That is the description of the item as written. Marjorie doesn't know what any
but
of
I'm
this
just
has.
Saying, I just grabbed a hammer, it's fine.
That might be one of the more fucked up weapons.
Yeah, right.
That has infinite implications. You know what I mean? Like your soul.
The language as written, says a humanoid killed by this weapon has its soul funneled into the River Styx, where it's reborn instantly as a devil.
Oh my god. Wow. Like, it's just eternal. Oh man, that's fucked up.
That's fucked up.
And you just, like, found it.
You guys could have done it too.
I'm thinking about it too hard. But it's like, whoa. That's some dark shit.
Marjorie doesn't know what this hammer does. And it won't be sticks, obviously, and all that. It'll be twisted for this. But that's the. Which makes sense for this. Kind of region that it's kind of this like weird death related hammer.
Yeah, right.
But for the sake of D&D Beyond, that will be the one that you get to add for mechanics.
Cool.
To like click the buttons.
I turn and I stand ready along with the other hammer wielders.
Okay. And you can see these four smaller demons now all barreling towards you. Flack, it's your turn. You're now in between the huge big demon. Who has called you out by name. Garanthorwa. And the royal box that you can see into where you can see the Empress is trying to escape but cannot.
I want to keep making my way up there.
Okay, you get inside the box. You float your way in.
Yeah.
The hand...
Need a hand?
Yeah. The Empress turns.
Because I'm flying on one. That's what I tell her.
Oh, she's like, and she kind of cocks her head and she looks at you and she's like, do I know you?
I'm the artist formerly known as Bucket Baby.
Seems like the experiment's really advanced.
I'm a bucket man now.
There'll be time to discuss the experiment later. We have to get out of here. The door's locked somehow. There aren't even locks on these doors. They're really more kind of formalities.
Oh, so it's probably magic, huh?
You don't know.
Well, I cast Dispel Magic at it.
Outside in the concourse, because Dispel Magic has like a range, it has like a radius, right?
No, I choose one creature object or
choose one object.
So I choose the door.
Nothing happens.
What?
Should have let him keep talking.
You don't even need more details?
No, nothing happens?
Nope, because on the outside of the door is a scarf that is tied around the handles to keep it from opening.
Okay.
And then the Empress goes over and she's like, great, and she tries to open the door, but she can't. It's still locked! Fuck it, man!
Does the hand fit inside?
Hand fits inside the box, but you could dismount it if you choose, or... Yeah, I guess that, because you can't, you can't rearrange it without knowing the words.
But I have secret rings with Margarine.
Oh, you do?
Margarine. Secret rings. What's old person word for battering ram that I can ride on?
Ooh, I get advantage on this one because battering ram's been at the top of my head because with the reason why they're looking for this heavy metal.
Yes. They had a ram plan in the backstage room, in the dressing room. Yes.
Yeah.
I know this one.
Do I have to roll for
it? Yeah, roll history with advantage.
These aren't the best rolls.
Oh, no.
The 12?
The 12 is good enough.
Okay.
Now I have to make up a silly word. The only thing that comes to mind is bingo bango.
In honor of Mickey Redman.
Right, bingo bango!
I write bingo bango.
And the gears and shafts and mechanics of the hand rearrange themselves into a battering ram of sorts. It doesn't seem to have a lot of heft to it, but it is arranged in a cylinder, and it's reinforced itself as much as it can, but it doesn't appear to be the strongest ram in the world. However, it does functionally work. You do have to get off of it for it to make this thing. It's not...
Oh.
It doesn't have a seat the way that the...
Can't I jump as it does it?
Yes, you could totally jump, yeah.
Okay. No, but then can I land on it when it's done?
Oh, and ride it like the bomb in Doctor Strangelove? Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I hop up.
It does the thing, and then...
And I land.
And then you land. Roll acrobatics. Let's see how flourishy this is.
With my +6 acrobatics.
See if you can impress the Empress.
22.
Yes, you do impress the Empress.
Oh-ho!
She watches as you do this... Very, for whatever reason in my head, I'm thinking of the Pauly Shore Pinocchio.
Yeah! Flip on the horse.
Yeah. And then
the
you
father.
Land. And then you land on the reassembled, rearranged ram.
Great. Forward!
Let's call that your turn, as the demons approach. The big guy, Grenthwaith. Calls you out again and says, "Do not escape me, challenger," and stabs the big trident into the royal box.
What the fuck?
Whoa. Sorry, how big is this dude?
Very, very big. It's like Fantasia.
Oh.
He's a big guy.
Mm-hmm.
Huge. However, somehow the points of the trident manage to avoid both you and the Empress as they stick into the box.
Jeez.
They also avoid the door.
Yeah, I was going to say, what happens to us? Oh, God.
But you hear something very, very heavy slam against that wall. And it jostles the hallway. Dust falls from the ceiling. Something is happening on the other side of that door.
Ah, my fruit.
Hammer Bros and Margarine, you are beset upon by the four smaller demons. They're all cackling and laughing. Their mouths, their unnaturally wide mouths, are stretched back with these tiny, thin rows of many, many teeth. They're long, weird noses. They have claws and fangs and shit. They're gross. What the fuck?
And they're all very bad at hitting
us. They're all so bad. That same one, that same TIE fighter motherfucker, keeps bumping into people.
This was his first time out.
Yeah.
He's just too excited.
Like a baby giraffe.
Just can't get his feet and just bumps into all the other ones. And now they kind of start fighting with each other. And you look around and the Hammer Bros kind of look at you and you all kind of look back at the demons like, all right. It is... We'll go into the concourse now. Fletch, what do you do? What
the heck was that noise?
It's the devil!
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And Umphrey starts to run away.
Nah.
Okay.
Get him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Grab him real quick. grab him by the back of his...
Yeah, roll athletics. We'll call this a grapple.
Grapple.
Why are my rolls so bad?
Trips and falls.
I think he fell, and I like kind of stumbled to it.
Oh my god!
Is Pete? Yours like, was behind him.
Yeah, I guess Pete should be around.
Pete's around. Yeah, if you want to do stuff with Pete, Pete's around.
Yeah.
You did grab him. You beat his roll. You grab him by his collar and pull him kind of back. You have the other one.
Can I throw him into Billy?
Bibble.
Or Bibble?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I want to like throw him.
Okay.
Into Bibble. Nat 1.
Oh, Jesus!
Oh my god.
His kind of shitty momentum kind of pulls you forward. You both tumble to the ground. Zabbis, you are within sight of the door. It just banged. Something banged to the other side of the wall. You have in front of you Gorlion and then the scarf tied around the handle.
Wait, Gorlion's in front of the...
Yeah, he's closest to the Empress.
Can I cast Unseen Servant and get ahead of Gorlin and have Unseen Servant untie the scarf?
Yeah, that is definitely a simple task that the Unseen Servant is able to do.
Okay.
You cast your spell, you conjure your Unseen Servant. Zabbis's, I believe, is slightly less of a goof than Black's Unseen Servant, which we have established is less than the best.
Okay.
Dang. Less than the best.
But it is a simple task to untie this scarf. Your unseen servant does that. Unties the scarf, holds it aloft. You can see now in its full kind of, unfurled thing that it is a fine scarf. It has a crest on it, like an emblem,
mm-hmm.
that you're unfamiliar with, but it's embroidered and very, very nice.
Mm, okay.
But now that the door is able to be opened, it swings open or kind of opens, as the unseen servant unties the scarf. And you can see within the Empress, beyond that, you see Flack with this ram.
Yeah, hey.
yeah. And,
oh no!
And you see the giant trident stabbed into this room that they are kind of around. And now, Flack, you can see into the concourse, panicked dwarves running hither and yon. Some of which have fruit hats. Zabbis, fruit hat.
Mm-hmm.
No longer wings.
Yeah.
No longer horns, but fruit hat.
Mm-hmm.
The cult member Gorlion, and beyond that, Fletch on the ground, tussled up with a dwarf. Pete kind of just hunched nearby, and another cultist with this big, nasty-looking knife. Gorlion is going to turn. Well, he doesn't really know that you're there. The scarf just kind of magically untied. So he's going to step forward... and try to grab the Empress. There's a roll. He does. He grabs her by the arm and he says, "Come with me, Empress." And he holds his knife up to her. Flack, you can see this. He kind of holds the knife up to her throat. He says, "You better not get any ideas, reporter." What? Flip? Floop?
No, I'm Flip. Floop's my adopted brother.
And then there's this giant, the tines of the trident stabbed into the wall. Beyond that, the demon is roaring. Umphrey is going to try to get away from you, Fletch. Fletch, roll an athletics roll.
You can't beat my athleticism.
Yeah, you got him. You two are kind of like wrestling on the ground, but Bibble is going to try to stab you and does. You're going to take 11 damage as you are stabbed by Bibble. It was like, "Let go! Let go!" Margarine, you've got the Hammer Bros.
Yeah, I do. Suddenly, you can hear drums. You can hear drums being beaten in a koto, twanging itself as Margarine, with her hat and her cape, the wind rushes by her and her Hammer Bros. And I'm going to bend the rules of D&D.
On this show, no.
What is it? I have panache. My charm becomes extraordinarily beguiling, and I can make a charisma check ordinarily contested against someone who's fighting me, but I sort of want to charismatically convince these hammer bros.
This is your moment. You are forgers of some of the greatest weapons in dwarven history. And now we will fight demons together, using the art with which you have created. Let's take out these four little bastards.
And I throw the poison. I grab one of the six pots from my head and I toss it forward as my first attack.
Okay, roll persuasion with advantage.
Yeah.
For your inspiring speech.
Nice, 22.
Yes, they are inspired by your speech. They all start like clanging their hammers together. They start like grunting. Like, yeah, let's get them. And then you throw your thing. Roll a ranged attack roll, which would be a 20 plus your dex.
Okay, nice.
Yes.
What's that? 23?
23
to
will hit. Yes. Which one? Do you want the most hurt, the original one that you've stabbed already, or any of the other ones? Does it matter?
Let's do the original one. Like whichever one was in the front.
Okay.
That's probably the one with the gear.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Roll. Let's have some fun with this.
Okay.
Let's pull up the Dungeon Master's Guide. And look at some potions and see what this could be.
Acid potions.
Roll a d12.
Gonna be a 5.
There's an explosion of... Ouch.
Oh no.
Explosion of ouch.
There is an explosion of a deep red liquid as it makes contact with this demon. The liquid is accompanied very quickly by a few fumes of this red kind of smoke that the demon inhale. You can see it's got this giant nose and these huge weird nostrils. You can see it inhale these fumes, and when it does, it starts to cough violently. Roll 2d8.
2d8? Gonna be a 10. 5 and 5.
You see it cough violently, and then it throws up this like black blood or bile or whatever onto one of the other demons, who is also then singed and damaged by this, and it continues to vomit and is kind of taken out of the fray. Fleck.
Yeah.
What are you doing now?
Looking pretty embarrassed about this battering ram that is no longer necessary. So, I almost want to just turn it around and chuck it at the demon, but then we'd be out a magical, robotic thing. Like that would be short-sighted. So, instead, who has the Empress at knife point?
A dwarf, a dwarven cultist.
Okay.
Orlean does, right?
Orlean, yep.
Oh. I cast Disintegrate on him.
Oh, God! You have Disintegrate? Yeah. I think I've had this reaction before.
You have. It's a 6th-level spell.
Jesus Christ.
A thin green ray springs from my pointing finger. Yeah. To a target I can see within range, 60 feet.
Yes, certainly.
For sure. Creature targeted must make a dexterity saving throw.
2.
Nice. Wow. The target takes 10d6 plus 40 force damage. So
Jesus.
I have to roll 10d6.
Yeah, you should be able to just click the damage.
Oh. I just hit for 10.
That's
He's
good.
Hitting for 40 plus or whatever in one move.
Like go to your spell and where it says the damage, you can just click on that.
This Empress is gonna hire you for to always.
I know.
Be next
I always forget that that's clickable.
73.
Yeah. Okay. He is disintegrated.
Well,
turns into nothing.
So, yes. So it left him with 0 hit points?
It certainly did.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Him and everything he was wearing and carrying is reduced to a pile of fine gray dust, which is not the Empress. He's not wearing or carrying her.
No, that would be a wild interpretation of carrying.
Yeah. So, that's great. Compare that.
Yeah, the Empress is just standing there like, ah!
Careful, Empress. Don't breathe in any of that dust.
You are a bucket man.
You got it.
Hey everybody, Gressel here with a few quick announcements there and get you right back to it. Thanks so much for listening to episode 164 of D&D&D. Be sure to follow us on social media at D&D&DPod on Twitter or D&D&DPod on Instagram. Or email us at dndndpod@gmail.com. Thanks for adjusting this schedule with us through the spring here to this every other week. But when we come back this summer, we're going to have some cool stuff and we're going to have a lot of fun. I hope you're enjoying this session. We had a lot of fun playing it. And I really like it just listening back to it as I was editing it. So I hope you're enjoying it as well. We have another episode coming not next week, but the week after that as we get into April. That will be April the 12th. And then expect every other week until you hear me say otherwise here in these announcements. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/dndndpod. You can get ad-free episodes for as little as a dollar contribution to the show a month. It really helps us out, helps us make the show, keep it going for 5+ years. We would not be able to do that without our patrons. So thank you so much to our patrons. You are the reason the show exists, and all of you listeners are the reason the show exists, but the patrons definitely make it better and more possible. So thank you to the patrons. We really appreciate your support. If you're in the Chicago area this weekend, March 31st through April 2nd, Beth and Mike will be at C2E2. So go and check out their booth for Beth's incredible artwork. She has stickers available if you are a listener of the show. So go check out Beth's booth at C2E2 this weekend, March 31st through April 2nd. Next weekend, the 7th through the 9th, Beth will be at SakuraCon and Mike will be at DreamHack. So they are splitting the duty because Beth's art is in such demand because she's so amazing. So if you're in Seattle or San Diego next weekend, the 7th through the 9th, or if you're in Chicago this weekend, go say hi to Beth or Mike or both of them get some amazing art. It's just the best, and I'm so privileged that she shares it with this show in the form of the incredible new logo, which you can see not only on your app, but at Beth's shop, bethbrad.shop. That's it for me. Just a couple of ads, and then we'll get to the back half of this episode. We'll be back on April 12th with the next one. And then the 26th after that for now. Again, if you want ad-free episodes, check out the Patreon. But otherwise, thanks everybody. Do what's fun.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's the big guy's turn again, and you have this moment with the Empress. Roll insight.
Uh-oh.
Insight. Does she have a crush?
17.
She's kind of giving you eyes.
Uh-oh.
You already have a like,
this is impressive. This is impressive. But then you have this moment where she calls you a bucket man, and then the trident retreats. It dislodges from...
Oh, yeah, there's a giant guy.
Yeah.
Keep forgetting about that.
Is he okay, or did, you know, is he kind of flying blind?
Well, he hasn't hit you yet.
Is okay. He hot?
Like, physically?
Does he have abs?
Temperature high?
Wow, Russell's really thinking about this.
Yeah.
He's Satan from South Park, so well, yes. His little, like, black fur shorts.
I did say he was muscly. And had these horns. Zabbis might have some horn envy.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Especially because mine are gone
now.
You've
lost your horns. The trident dislodges. fucking hell, and stabs back in again, just around you. You do get the sense now that you kind of look back at him that he is kind of just kind of stabbing a little bit blindly.
What is the situation of his eyes?
Squinty.
Okay.
Yeah. And teary.
Okay.
They're you not... can see big tears kind of streaming down his cheeks.
His eyeballs did not burst. They are not empty chasms.
No, there's not blood or anything. The trident just stabs kind of back in, and he misses you once again. The air moves past you, and it blows your hair. And you look cool, and the Empress is kind of like, ooh, fuck it, man. The other demons are going to try to attack Margarine and the Hammer Bros, except for the main one who took the gear, who is just going to turn and stab the one who has been fucking up the others. And he kind of flings him back. But the other three are going to attack you. The gear holder crits on Margarine.
Oh, my.
Yes. And flings the gear back at you with a precision and a force that catches you off guard, and it hits you square between the eyes.
Oh, I have a reaction.
Okay.
Yeah, uncanny dodge. When an attacker that you can see hits you with an attack, you can use your reaction to have the attack's damage against you.
Okay. And you will take 12 damage.
Good.
Roll a dexterity saving throw.
Rolling. 26.
Yes, you're able to keep your feet, but it hits you with such force that you stagger.
Oof. I do have things on my head.
Oh, that's true.
Root?
Nope.
Jars. I don't know if those can stay. Fletch, it's your turn. Bibble has stabbed you. You are wrestling with Umphrey. These dwarven cultists, the attendees are still streaming out. The crowd is starting to thin as most have escaped. An apple rolls past your field of vision.
Oh, I grab it.
Okay.
And then I throw it at Bibble.
Okay, roll a ranged attack, 20 plus deck.
Food fine.
13.
Misses.
Haha, that was just a distraction. I can't believe you stabbed me as the right hand of the devil. You will pay by being burned. And then I use burning hands.
Nice.
And I hold my hands and fire spouts from my fingertip.
Okay.
Burn both of them.
Okay. Roll your stuff.
You gotta beat a 17.
Each creature in a 15-foot cone. Both of them would be in a cone, as well as there might be a couple bystanders. Make a dexterity saving throw. One, and for the bystanders, a 6.
Oh, what? Well.
So they all fail.
Figure big picture.
Roll your damage. Knight's flammable object.
9
damage. Okay.
So yeah, I'm assuming that their clothes will catch fire. So, like, I just wanted to catch them on fire, not really melt them.
Oh, it says flammable objects that aren't being worn or carried.
Oh.
They don't catch fire, but the fruit hats do.
Oh yeah.
The fruit. Well, I guess that's been worn. So yeah, so nothing catches fire.
Oh.
But they're burned, and they're Umphrey is convinced now that you are the devil and the right hand of the devil.
Yes.
Zabbis, it is your turn. You watched as Gorlian was disintegrated. You see the Empress, you see Flak. Beyond, you see this huge demon.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I kind of want to go help Flak with this demon.
Okay.
What, the big guy?
Yeah.
You step into the royal box where the Empress is there with Flak. Flak, you now see that Zabbis is mostly normal, except for the possession by Marta, which remains. And yeah. What do you do, Zabbis?
Can I cast Tasha's Mind Whip at it?
Certainly can.
It has to make an intelligence saving throw.
16?
Is it save DC?
Save DC, yep.
Mine's 18.
Hell yeah.
Oh, right. Well, there you
Hell
go.
Hell yeah.
Okay. All right.
It takes 3d6 psychic damage, and it can't take a reaction until the end of its next turn.
Oh, and it can only move action or bonus action on the next. Okay, roll your damage.
Sucked. 7. For a 5th level spell?
That does suck, huh?
You roll a 1 and a 2 out of your 3 dice.
Yeah.
So not the greatest rolls today. But you hear the sound of your psychic whip cracking, and you see the big demon recoil as it is hit, and it roars out in that deep guttural roar and exclaims in that language you don't understand something. Flack, you can hear the voice in your head taunt you and say, "Challenger, you have helpers? That's not fair."
Look at the size difference, buddy.
Got him.
It's the dwarves' turn. You killed one. But the two that are now fucking around with Fletch, one is going to try to get away again. Does not. The other is going to try to stab you. Can't. You're just kind of rolling around with these guys. Burning on me like, "I'm the devil."
I'm not. I'm the right-hand man.
Assistant.
Assistant to that.
To the regional devil.
Yeah.
Chelsea, you can get another. You can refill your inspiration.
Yay.
For calling back to assistant.
Superman.
Marjorie.
Yeah,
sleight
I flipped
of hand.
It. I fucking grabbed.
Roll a sleight of hand roll to see if you can pull this off.
Dodge the attack, and because I know this stuff has fallen off my head, I try to get ahead of it by grabbing the platter and flinging the platter so that I vault all of these things towards our enemies. Sleight of hand roll, gonna go ahead and do it. Does a 17 do it?
Yeah.
Sick!
Yeah, let's say yes. And we'll go back and we'll have some fun with the effects of the
5 remaining potions.
Of the remaining, god, jeez. You know what? Let's roll on the wild magic table.
Okay.
Why not? Roll a D100. 5 times?
Whoa, okay. Where is a D100? There it is. Are you serious? All right, first one is 97. Second one is 37. Third one is 10. Fourth one, 51. And the final one, 9.
You fling your potions at these guys. There is a bunch of intermingling of strange magical potions and acids.
Are you gonna read the 5 to yourself and then combine them into one effect?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to do.
Good lord.
I'm excited.
Oh, 97 we've done, but I love it, so we're gonna do it. This is from Tashi Firestein. And the pool of lava, or the former pool of lava that was then smooth as glass, now turns into a bubble bath.
I knew it. I knew it. I knew it was a bubble bath.
I wasn't there for this.
You were not there for this. But it was great.
Wasn't it awful? Didn't somebody die?
Yes, it was awesome.
It was awesomely
and
awful.
This suggestion from Emily Rose, which I'm going to tweak a little bit, works so well because it's based on popping bubbles. so that one's going to be part of it. This from Tim Doubleman. The demons grow 3 feet taller and turn blue.
No.
Oh, this furthers the just like Zephyr.
How are these potions supposed to help us find the metals?
it wasn't the best plan. From Miriam Afton, it starts raining ducks.
Oh.
Great.
Which is fun because I'm making duck for dinner.
Oh.
Serendipitous.
I just can't turn
duck at it.
Oh, Fluggy.
Wait, yeah, was this what gave us Fluggy?
Might have been. No.
Fluggy, there was something with walnut? I don't know. A lot's happened.
A lot has happened.
The past 5 years.
That might have been the origin of Fluggy. And then.
Lug-a-doo.
For the last one, just roll two roll 2d12 acid damage for the last one.
All right.
I don't want to burn too many wild magics. I'm glad that a few of those are ones we've done. but yes, the former lava pool is now a bubbling bubble bath. The bubbles are rising and bursting, and when they burst, they seem to be damaging the big guy.
Oh, great.
As well as nice. The other demons. What was your d12 roll?
It was an 8.
Okay, so they're all damaged for 8.
That's how you beat Dr. Wily in Mega Man 2 is with Bubble Man's ability.
Very yeah. So video game.
And then the big guy also damaged. And then for the bubbles, roll...
For,
roll 5d6.
Like a d10 plus 40?
yeah, right.
5d6. I'll take that. Okay, dice. Gressel's not rolling you. Beth's rolling you, so you should be good.
Yeah, for real.
I'll take it. 19.
Okay, cool. You kill one of the demons, one of the small demons. It starts to burst. It bursts. That was the one that you hit before that was throwing up the gear. He threw the gear at you, so... but that was that one. Okay. Managed to kill. What was that number? 19?
19.
There's a bunch of, like, demon goo in the bubble
bath? There's a bunch of demon goo in the bubble bath.
Ha ha ha
ha. Oh, does the big guy sink down by a couple feet?
Yeah, he does.
Wait, why?
Soap in my eye!
Did he also
turn
blue?
The floor became water.
He did not turn blue because he was not hit with the magic.
Okay.
Are these fucking guys with their hammers gonna attack or what?
Oh, sure, yeah. Let's do it on your turn. They run forward now watching this. They like war cry. Oh, finally, some good fucking rolls.
Yeah, because they're good guys.
Exactly. They all together beat up on the next most damaged demon, and they squish him under their hammers into pulp and goo. And they echo some of the inspiring things that you said about, like, dwarves are the best.
Oh, no, you made nationalists.
No, I took advantage of nationalists.
Isn't that... Yes.
Flack.
Is big boy 60 feet within me?
Let's say yes. Yes, Bing. Because your speed is 30, 35, 25, something like that.
Sure.
Yes. Yes. 60 feet away from you.
Finger of death.
Ew. Ew.
I send negative energy coursing through a creature I can see, causing it searing pain. Make a constitution saving throw, motherfucker.
4.
It takes 7d8 plus 30 necrotic damage.
Oh my god.
Pulling out the big spells.
I know, now I'm out of spell slots for those. So.
D&D is a Moorpark Media podcast and a Spotify preferred partner. Written and edited by me, James Gressel. D&D is performed by James A. Janisse, Chelsea Rebecca, Beth Radloff, and Mike Seigen.